Hello, everybody. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel again. So I bring you gladsome tidings, and that's Mohammed Fayyad is no more. A man who couldn't even tell the truth about his own name, styling himself Mohammed Al Fayyad, because that was meant to be the nobiliary particle. So the Egyptian billionaire has been summoned to Jannat. So he shall see whether his Allah is true or no. He didn't pretend to be a terribly observant Muslim. So he was born in Alexandria into a middle-class family. His father's a teacher. Remember, in those days, in 1930s Egypt, a lot of people were illiterate. And so they're part of the small minority who were literate, but they didn't have a great deal of money. Anyway, he prospered in business. He went abroad. He was in the United Kingdom. He soon made lots of money. He was some sort of bagman for Jean-Claude Duvalier, the horrific tyrant of Haiti, who reigned over it in terror with his Tonton Macoute, or what do you say, Milice des Volontaires de Vigilance Nationale, or something like that was their proper name. And he got a diplomatic passport for the Haitians, was apparently duping Papadoc, which you think would be a very risky proposition because you think you'd end up suffering a particularly horrific death if he caught you diddling him out of even a few centimes. Fayyad was one of the first to see major potential for the United Arab Emirates shortly after it went independent about 1970, was one of the first people in there investing, getting into construction there. So he became very affluent. He married twice. Dodi Fayyad was his firstborn, if memory serves. I think his first wife was Sand Arabian. He spent most of his time in London, but he never, ever got British citizenship. So he later owned bought Harrods, that really flagship shop in Kensington Brompton Road. So the Harrod family founded it way back in about 1850, but it really just contains many, many branded stores, really high-end ones. So he was known as, he was a really sort of Mr. Harrods in the 80s, in the 90s. But I mean, I knew someone who was a butcher there who said when he took over, it all got worse. They got paid worse and longer hours and conditions got worse, could be sacked very easily. There was an exposure of this expose by Tom Bowyer said that he was very racist and didn't want to employ black people, and you make up specious reasons to sack them, saying, well, do you speak Japanese? No, okay, you're sacked, but not asking a white that. I don't know if that one's actually true though. And was really germophobic, was a man of raging ego, really just nauseating. He was delighted that his bodyguards labeled him lion and things like that. That was him, was an inveterate womanizer, always dressed a bit too loudly, just had no subtlety, was really nauseating wearing all those cravats and stuff like that. He bought a house in Paris, which had formerly belonged to the Duchess of Windsor when she died in 1987, as in she was married to the former King Edward VIII, the uncle of the then Queen Elizabeth II. He sponsored the Windsor Horse Show in order to get to meet Her Britannic Majesty. He craved acceptance by the establishment, but he never, ever received it. He was a bit like that chap in The Way We Live Now by, is it Trollope? Is it Melmotte? But often seen as meretricious. And was there some racial prejudice against him? Was there some religionism against him? There probably was a bit of that, but he didn't help himself. He was a loathsome character. No one should be mistreated on the grounds of race or faith. Some of the animus towards him was personal because he was a detestable character. But in fairness, he could also have been a victim of racialism and some religious bigotry too. People didn't like these newcomers who struck it rich, but he was a sharpster to say the least. He often lied about his year of birth, so he was really just an inveterate liar. So his eldest son, Dodi, he'd been at Sandhurst. I'm not sure he graduated from there. He was had some sort of sinecure at the United Arab Emirates Embassy in London, even though he was not actually an Emirati citizen. And he was seen as first assistant director, listed as that, on Chariots of Fire. And the really just a playboy, done nothing, had married young, got divorced, and never had a child from that marriage. And then he was actually engaged to an American model in 1997 when he happened to meet Diana. And that American model was dropped like a hot potato, paid a couple of $1 billion to just go away and shut up. And then this was the biggest prize. Mohammed Fayed really wanted his son to marry Princess Diana. I remember her divorce to Prince Charles had just become final months earlier. So this was the big prize of what Mohammed Fayed wanted. If his son could marry the Princess of Wales, he would really have made it. That would be the acme of achievement. But it didn't happen for them because of that smash in Paris. Remember Mohammed Fayed, he owned the Ritz Hotel in Paris. So, he was a man of really insatiable appetites, well, avarice. He had a super yacht on Côte d'Azur and so on. So he had that big memorial, innocent victims to his son and Princess Diana up in Harrods for years. Then he sold Harrods in 2010 to the Qataris for $2.4 billion. And that was only a fraction of his wealth. But nevertheless, that memorial stayed up until about 2018. I remember taking a photo of it just before they removed it. But there were some disputes over the dividends and the pension funds, which arose from Harrods. So he was in the media a lot in the 90s. He was very much annoyed that the Conservatives would not give him citizenship. And so he became a vocal Labour supporter. He had said he'd paid various MPs like Tim Smith, Conservative MP for Beaconsfield, to ask questions on his behalf, and that happened. The other thing is that Tim Smith was actually the one who defeated Tony Blair in 1982 in the by-election in Beaconsfield, Tony Blair's first attempt to get into Parliament. So that was the end of Smith's career. He acknowledged he'd done it and he stepped down from Parliament. A couple of other Conservative MPs likewise outed, but Neil Hamilton denied to this day. There was a libel action about that. Libel action was taken out against Mohammed Fayed that Neil Hamilton lost. They thought that they could skewer Fayed by saying to him, "Mr. Fayed, what year were you born?" And that'd be revealed that he'd given several different years. So he lied a lot. He'd also organized that break into Tiny Rowland's deposit box. Tiny Rowland was given an ironic name because he's about 6'6", this India-born guy of Dutch German ancestry, who was a business titan, was really a really dominant figure in London business from the 1950s to the 1990s. He died about 1998 and then had a terrible feud, but suddenly reconciled actually shortly before Tiny Rowland's death in 1998. So what else? So Mohammed Fayed was then found by the Labour Home Secretary Jack Straw not to be of good character, and therefore he was denied British citizenship despite having been a British resident for years. And in court, when they said about his name, "Why do you call yourself Al Fayed? Your surname's actually Fayed." He said, "Call me Al Capone if you want." And there were gales of laughter. He'd also owned Fulham Football Club, and they'd have to ask the jurors, "Are any of you supporters of Fulham Football Club? Because that might prejudice you." And not a single one of them was. In terms of global wealth, he ranked number 1,493 in the world. So that's it. Anyway, and Mr. Fayed, he kept voicing these groundless, ludicrous conspiracy theories that his son was murdered, that Prince Philip had masterminded the whole dastardly plot, and said, "Oh, well, how come the tunnel was reopened, Pont de l'Alma tunnel, hours after their deaths in contravention of all French law?" Wasn't contravention of all French law, or indeed any French law. The tunnel's got to be reopened sometime. There are millions of Parisians who need to get around. And keeping that tunnel closed a minute longer than necessary will never, ever bring back your son or Diana for a single second, right? So it can't be closed forever. Once the investigation is finished, it's got to be reopened so traffic can begin to circulate. So an extremely self-centered man. And he was always advancing these baseless and increasingly outlandish theories. The Special Air Service, that's part of the British Army Special Forces, had murdered this too. And there was really no evidence that was remotely supportive of that. He supposedly was grief-stricken for his son. But, you know, he was so fake. He was so blatantly acting. And all right, he would have missed his son a bit, but he was obviously hamming it up. He really disliked being asked difficult questions and saying when he chose to come on the news, "Oh, please, I'm tired. We'll get off the program then. If you're going to go on the news, they're going to grill you. If you say highly contentious things, yes, of course. A journalist's job is to put you on the spot, to ask you the questions that you do not wish to be asked, as well as the ones that you do wish to be asked." So he was a truly vile character. So he should not be missed. And he died, I think it was Thursday. And he was just laid to rest after a funeral at the Friday prayers at the central London mosque, Regent's Park, today. Trying to do this in accordance with Mohammedan custom to bury him before the sun sets twice. Because if someone were to die just before sunset, there might not be time for a funeral. So wait, you know, a bit over 24 hours if necessary. The reason they had that rule is, remember, Islam was invented in 7th century AD Saudi Arabia when there was no refrigeration. You can think how the cadaver could begin to decompose and distend and would be rather malodorous. So to prevent decomposition, that's why they had that rule. Sinead O'Connor, didn't she reject Islam after about a year, which is a punishable by death for apostating? So that was Mohammed Fayed. He was a major figure in the 90s, was always in the press. And he said that you rent a figure, you rent a taxi, an MP like you rent a taxi. Yeah, so that a politician, a loyal politician who once bought stays bought. So that's him. Not been heard very much from in the last few years. So, good riddance to bad rubbish. Thank you for watching. So please donate on PayPal, George Callahan, 79@gmail.com. Goodbye.